It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, Industry Editor at Search ERP. Responsible AI is about making artificial intelligence transparent and accountable to minimize legal and ethical risks. But how can business leaders evaluate the work of AI developers to properly identify and mitigate the risk? My guest today is Navreena Singh, founder and CEO of Credo AI, a startup that makes software for standardizing AI governance across organizations. She'll explain what it does, how it differs from MLOps tools, and what's being done to create standards for algorithmic auditing and other responsible AI tools. What exactly does the Credo AI software do?
So Credo AI is industry's first AI governance platform. It is a SaaS application that sits on top of your ML infrastructure and provides continuous oversight and accountability of your AI and machine learning systems. So you might ask, why is that critical? Now, that is critical because right now, as we all know, there are a lot of unintended consequences we are seeing emerge in AI applications. And those unintended consequences can arise anywhere in the lifecycle, whether it's in your data pipeline, whether it's in the models, model outputs, or whether it is in the stakeholders involved or the processes that you as an organization have in place. So when you look across that entire spectrum and all these different layers that exist in actually getting a machine learning application out in the market, the key question begs, how do you not only uncover and surface the risks that emerge across this entire life cycle, but how can you proactively take action on it? And this is why Credo AI was created, to not only monitor and manage, but also to mitigate AI-introduced risks, especially as more and more machine learning applications are showing up in the market.
So who is the intended market? Is it software developers and companies that use AI, or is it even beyond that?
You know, I'll respond to that question in two ways. One is in terms of who are the users of the platform. And secondly, I do want to address like the companies that we are currently working with. In terms of the users, one of the biggest challenges, David, we've seen, especially with this emerging category of MLOps, is that that is really directed for a great data scientist, a technical stakeholder. But there has been a missing layer of translation that needs to exist between your technical stakeholders and your business stakeholders coming from oversight functions like governance, risk, compliance, and policy. So our day-to-day users for Credo AI platform are really coming from both these spheres. We serve the data scientists because they're able to do assessments and interrogations of data sets and the machine learning models. But then we do a translation layer so that the outcomes are actually easily understood by a governance manager, a compliance manager, a risk manager, so that they can proactively take action around risks that these AI applications might be presenting to their business. And in terms of the enterprises, right now, Credo AI serves global 2000s, which can both be one, an enterprise that is building its own AI application. They have an in-house center of excellence around AI and machine learning and building applications based on that. But it also applies to companies that might be procuring third-party AI vendor solutions. So our sectors are financial services, insurance, HR and talent management, government, high tech, and others. But it does apply to, I would say, both parts of the ecosystem, not only the builders of AI applications, but also the consumers of AI applications.
Is the software available? Is it shipping?
Yes. So we made our software generally available April of this year, and it is already deployed in production across our global 2000 customers in the spaces that I mentioned.
You alluded to this a minute or two ago, the intelligence layer, which is language that I found on your website, sits on top of the AI infrastructure, translates technical artifacts into actionable risk and compliance insights for product leaders, data scientists, and government teams. So what I'm wondering is, what is that information flow like? Like, what is that translation like? How does the stuff that the data scientists are looking at, or maybe the programmers, filter up into the risk managers and other less technical people?
Let's, you know, put this in a little bit more concrete example. And I'll take an example which is top of mind for many of us today, is the New York City bias audit law. Now, if you are whether a vendor or an enterprise using third-party AI vendor tools, one of the questions that you're asking yourself is, how do I even create these assessments across this set of regulations, guidelines that have come in? So I do want to emphasize one of the unique value propositions of Credo AI is we are a very context-based governance platform. So it doesn't matter how many models or data sets you have within your enterprise, we can connect into your model repository. But what matters for us is how those models and those data sets are coming together within the context of an application. So carrying forward this New York City example, if you have, for example, HR resume screener application, whether you built that in-house or whether you are buying that from a third-party AI vendor model. Now, you can imagine in this two scenario, whether it's coming from third-party or it is your first-party application, there's a couple of things that need to happen as stated in the law. And we can discuss where the gaps in this law are, but let's talk about what the law states. The law states that you should be able to do disparate impact across three protected attributes, gender, race, and ethnicity per the law. It does not give you any thresholds as to what does good look like. That's one of the misreadings within the law. And then the output, which is a transparency report or what they're calling as an audit report, needs to be published on your website. So now, as you can imagine, there's a lot of like coming together of multi-stakeholder pieces in this law, as I just stated. And who does the assessment? How are those assessments done, especially for models that are being built in-house or third-party vendor models? And this is where we see very strong activity from the technical teams, the data science teams that are actually running the assessments on the data sets or the models, which might be built sort of working in to create this resume analyzer. So Credo AI has created something called as Credo AI Lens. It's an open source assessment framework where we have different tenets of responsible AI that we are operationalizing for assessment, fairness being one of the core tenets, robustness, security, explanations, transparency, sustainability being other tenets that are rolling out as we speak. But for fairness, what we end up doing is we basically take in the assessment that this rule or this regulation is proposing, and now we are able to do disparate impact analyses using grounds to data across the three protected attributes that are listed. As you can imagine, that work is done by the data scientists, and our Credo Lens platform can easily be injected in your CI/CD pipeline because it's a Python packet. So you as a data scientist don't really have to go beyond the boundaries of your Jupyter notebook or where you're actually building your models. But what then ends up happening is the assessment outcomes show up in our SaaS application. And this is where Credo AI's intelligence layer shows up, where we are able to take these assessment outcomes and basically marry them up with the process evidence that we've gathered based on the stakeholders that are involved. And we generate a bunch of evidence assets, including bias audit reports, transparency reports, impact assessment reports, model cards, AI use case cards, et cetera, for different stakeholders. Because let's say I, as an executive, might not want to read the entire report. I just care about like a summary. So we've created something called as AI solution card. However, I, as a regulator, deeply cares about your entire audit of not only your technical systems, but also your people and processes. And in that case, we have a much more comprehensive asset that can be shared with the regulators.
Does your tool look mostly at outcomes or, you know, to see if it's gone outside the guidelines, like the EEOC guidelines? Or does it go beyond that, perhaps?
So I think we have to sort of step back and think about where the industry is. I always worry about, you know, a checkbox activity with some of these local regulations might be causing in the market. So what our tool tries to do right now is go beyond that, because we want Credo AI to be used as a gap assessment tool by enterprises so that they take accountability around how they're building these machine learning applications. The critical component of that, which is enforced by the law and regulation, is you need to make these reports or disclosures available on your website for consumption by third parties. I think that is really critical right now in terms of making sure human is in the command to review the outcomes. So to answer your question, is it only looking at the outcomes? We holistically look beyond the outcomes. We look at your entire life cycle. We look at the people involved. We look at the processes that actually led to the development of that AI application. And then we interrogate your data sets and your models. However, as you can imagine, it is not holistic. And at this stage of the industry and where the tools are, it's not comprehensive. That's why we always position it as there is a human in the oversight loop that is absolutely critical to verify the outputs. And so we have an attestation capability for any evidence that we generate right now.
Another term I saw on your website is centralized repository of trusted governance. What is that?
You know, as you can imagine, and I'll take example of EU AI Act, which is still getting debated quite extensively. But one of the core things that we are finding with these emerging regulations, or what does good look like in this industry in terms of standards, is really this need around collecting all the core assets that can provide as much confidence in your AI applications as possible. And as I mentioned to you, David, that evidence is not just technical evidence, which the data science and machine learning teams are creating in terms of data set use. Where did you source your data from? What kind of testing was done on that data? When you build the model, what kind of validation and testing is done on that model? What is the outputs of those models? Can you explain the outcomes of those models? The evidence goes way beyond that. The evidence also now goes into who reviewed your systems. Is this a high-risk system? Is it a low-risk or medium risk as defined by your enterprise? Who is defining those risk parameters? What kind of policies, what kind of regulations, what kind of enterprise guardrails did you put in place? Finally, who were the reviewers? Why did those reviewers approve this application versus not approve this application? So as you can imagine, there's a lot of evidence that goes beyond the technical walls and now starts to jump into the people and process domain to really understand holistically, why were you using AI for this particular application? What was the thinking that went into it? Do you have evidence, technical evidence to support your thinking? And then do you have the right kind of reports which are created for different stakeholders to consume and make decisions around? So that's what we are calling the evidence repository within Credo AI Systems. And our belief is that if we are able to create this comprehensive governance repository of all the evidence, then for different stakeholders, whether they are internal or external, they can be held to higher accountability standards.
Another term I wasn't sure I understood was responsible AI governance artifact. So what is that?
I would say that that is the kinds of evidence that Credo AI is generating. So as you can imagine, and this goes back to what I was just mentioning, we are seeing in the responsible AI space, by the way, responsible AI, the way we define it at Credo is AI, which is in service of humanity, very aligned with human-centered values. And it really boils down to responsible use and development of artificial intelligence systems. So with that context, when you can imagine the people who are required to come into designing, building, approving these systems, unfortunately are not coming at it from the same level of understanding or expertise in artificial intelligence. As I gave examples, people from personas from risk compliance policies are not technical experts. Machine learning engineers and data scientists don't have the policy or the risk expertise. So as you can imagine, folks are coming at this platform with very varying degree levels of understanding of technical systems, as well as a risk system. So for us, these artifacts are a mechanism to really start democratizing the knowledge around responsible AI so that action can be taken, accountability can be presented, oversight can actually be made happen across these different stakeholders. So all these artifacts, whether it's an AI solution card, which as I mentioned, is less technical, it is an overview of your AI system versus a comprehensive fairness audit around desperate impact, which would serve a technical stakeholder really well. We are bringing all these different assets together, which we are calling artifacts, so that different personas within this multi-stakeholder ecosystem can be served appropriately so we can take action on managing AI risks.
So what kind of transparency do you provide into the Credo AI tool itself so that maybe your customers, your users can have a bit of a view into how you do what you do?
First and foremost, David, we don't use any machine learning ourselves. So this is really important point for everyone to understand. Secondly, for us at Credo AI, every step of the way within how we are building the system, what the system does, there's an audit log which gets created. There's an entire documentation of the steps that you as a user are taking within the platform. And we actually do that on our end as well. So that's why we decided to open source Credo AI Lens, because we believe that by open sourcing our assessment framework, which is interrogating your data sets and your models, we are able to bring in the public and the ecosystem to give them visibility into how these interrogations are happening. So that was a core component of our transparency statement for Credo AI by open sourcing that. Now, in terms of the SaaS product and giving visibility into what it's doing behind the scenes, beyond the technical aspects, the rest of the aspects within the SaaS platform are literally in control of the end user. So they are the ones who are providing evidence against the policies that exist. And I'll talk a little bit more about what are those policies. But, you know, there's, as I mentioned, there's no machine learning used behind the walls of Credo AI. So they have complete transparency into what they see is what they get within the SaaS platform. So hopefully that gives you a little bit visibility into our thinking around open sourcing Credo Lens and how the SaaS platform works. With that, I do want to sort of go a little bit deeper into what we call as policy packs. And this is where, David, we are super differentiated and first of the kind in the market. One of the challenges that all the enterprises we were talking to were having is, what does good look like? How do I codify my core values or what the industry sector I'm operating in expects, or what the regulation where I might be sort of putting out these AI applications expect? We don't have an understanding of that. So what does good look like for us is really critical as an enterprise to understand, and then as next step to operationalize. And this is where Credo AI's policy center really comes in. But these are like modular units. These are called policies, which we create based on four core ways. One is if there is an existing regulation. So for example, if there is already a cybersecurity principle that might apply to artificial intelligence proposed by NIST, we have a policy pack around that. If there is New York City bias audit law, even though it has gaps, we've already operationalized that as a policy pack within Credo AI. And what we do within these policy packs is create technical guardrails and process guardrails based on what's written up in this law. The second way we create policy packs is what's emerging and what's upcoming. As an example, Europe's Artificial Intelligence Act, if you look at the requirements, 60% of the requirements by EU AI Act are pretty traditional to software practices. Record keeping, decision lineage, how do you actually do data provenance? How are you measuring fairness or assessments? Those are like basic, I would say, tenets of a good or software as well as machine learning system. So we've already operationalized those within Credo AI and what we call them as readiness packs. So I, as an enterprise getting ready for Europe's Artificial Intelligence Act, can use that potential policy pack to see how your technical systems and your processes and people are aligned to meeting and getting ready for that EU AI Act. The third way that we create these policy packs is an enterprise who is AI first, has been building AI applications for multiple years, already know what good looks like for them and what their boundaries are. And this is where I truly believe that assessment is a much more first critical step beyond audit that companies should be engaging in. And we are seeing a lot of our enterprises right now are self-assessing and putting out the results for their customers. So in that case, they have a very clear set of sort of their own company values that they've codified in terms of these thresholds. And we are able to take in those guardrails within Credo AI and operationalize it for them so they can create disclosures, transparency reports against those and share it with their customers. And I truly believe that, you know, that's where the industry should be right now. And then lastly, as you can imagine, we, you know, Credo AI team has extensive experience in machine learning and artificial intelligence, not only on the technical side, but also on the policy side. For example, I am, you know, a young global leader with World Economic Forum, sat on their Council of AI, helped very early on with Singapore, European Commission, Canadian government regulations when they were just coming up. And currently, I'm also on the National AI Advisory Committee, advising President Biden and the National AI team on thinking about what these upcoming policies should be. The point here is, beyond AI expertise, it's very important in this ecosystem to sort of bring in the ecosystem, what's happening on standard setting side, what's happening on certification side, what's happening in rulemaking. So Credo AI is bringing all those components together. And that's why the fourth element or the fourth kind of policy pact we create is Credo AI recommended policy pact. These are best practices we are seeing that emerge across different industry sectors, across specific use cases. As I keep mentioning, we are context-driven governance. So use case and its application are a core focus. And it does not matter what models or data sets you're using. It's all about the use case and the context in which that AI application is operating.
There are some algorithmic auditing tools. When I covered this topic about a year ago, I was told about something called Arthur, a Fiddler parody AI. And then there's the firms that do auditing, and I think they have some of their tools, own software like Orca, the O'Neill Risk Consulting folks. Is Credo AI competing directly with those folks?
No. So let me explain why. So first and foremost, I'm very cautious about the word audit because the audit really has to happen against a set of standards. What mostly was happening in the year past was reviews. So I think we need to get very clear on language because audit really needs to happen against standards. Having said that, with the New York City law, which I think is the first one in the United States, which is an example of a good local law that has emerged, it unfortunately fails to define what an audit is as well. And that's one of the biggest gaps in the law. So when you think about ML ops companies, some of which you mentioned, what they do really well is looking at technical assets and technical measurements of machine learning systems and make those outputs available for data scientists and machine learning folks to take action. As an example, you have a machine learning application in production, data drifts, what do you do as a technical stakeholder? And visibility into those results is not auditing. It is just a review by your data scientist that, hey, something went wrong. I need to do something. And that's diagnostic. And then you think about some of the services organizations, like the ones you mentioned, also the big fours that are trying to get into this space. I think one of the issues is right now, audit is, or the reviews that they are conducting is in conjunction or in partnership with the entity or the enterprise that is building or buying those machine learning applications. And I think there also we have to be a little bit cautious about the word, use a word audit, because it's not independent. When you are actually collaborating, going and interviewing folks and giving them early insights into how the systems may or may not perform, how your people or processes are structured, that's not truly independent audit. So I think I always get very cautious about the word, use a word audit. What is happening right now, and this is where Credo AI comes in, is we believe that there's a layer of governance that needs to sit on top of your ML ops tools and your ML ops stack that is able to look across your data, AI, people, and process pipeline, figure out those risks, and translate those risks into actionable insights for the business stakeholders. Whether that insights are getting piped into a governance, risk, and compliance solution like ServiceNow OneTrust, that's totally fine. But there still needs to be a mechanism by which you can understand the AI risk. And this is where Credo AI comes in and responsible AI governance becomes a very critical component. Having said that, I think right now where companies are and the reality of this world is enterprises are taking on this gap assessment or self-assessment as a first step. And even for the New York City law, when the audits are happening, it's nothing more than reviews where companies are engaging with Credo AI-like solution to say, hey, I want to automate the review and see what the transparency report is. And then I will provide human oversight of that transparency report before I make it publicly available for consumer consumption. I'm always very cautious about different words which are getting thrown around from assessment to audit to assurance to governance. And it's very important for us to really sort of focus on there's actually no true audit platform. There are audit capabilities, which are primarily focused on review that exists right now in the market.
Is the National AI Advisory Committee, the one that you're on, you were appointed to by President Biden, is that the main body in the U.S. that will come up with standards?
No. You know, I'm happy to, by the way, share what's publicly available. I would say that, you know, across the United States, we have some amazing standard setting bodies, NIST included, that are doing a lot of work in the space, like the risk management framework that NIST is actively working on. So our role as the National AI Advisory Committee is to advise on what should be United States' competitive position in the space. And by the way, this is all public information. I'm not sharing anything which is not. What is our competitive position, especially in light of some of the global regulatory standards that are emerging, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Canada, Singapore, China, et cetera. But yeah, we are going to see that a work of standardization actually be across the organizations that already exist for that purpose in United States, NIST and others. And then we're also going to see some really core action, which we are already seeing from agencies like EEOC, FTC, and others in terms of having a very strong point of view around the use and development of artificial intelligence-based applications.
What are the obstacles to coming up with standards? This seems pretty hard, but I'm wondering why specifically.
Oh my God, what a great question, David. It's hard because it is so contextual. You cannot have a peanut butter approach to regulating artificial intelligence. You can have some core tenets, absolutely. But, you know, going to the example that I love to share all the time is, you know, if you are using any sort of facial recognition for unlocking your phone versus if you're using it for interviewing versus if you're using it for access control versus if you're using it for surveillance, you can imagine it is powered by pretty much same set of models, maybe different, obviously, data set requirements. But the constraints and the risk profile drastically varies across that spectrum. Can you have a set of standards or regulations for facial recognition? No, you can't, because it is so contextual based on the application that it is focused on. So one of the core things that we've been watching in the regulation space and contributing to and participating in is really around how do you bring context front and center for governing AI applications in a successful way. And a lot of that context is not only around the intent of use, but the actual use of that AI application. And I think a lot of regulations are going to be focused on that. Obviously, Europe's Artificial Intelligence Act is focused on a risk-based approach where they are defining risk tiers, low, medium, high, and happy to share more into what that looks like. UK, on the other hand, has taken a very context-centric, application-centric approach. I would say there's going to be a couple of more years before we see harmonization of regulations or emergence of holistic standards, but I truly believe it's going to be sector-specific, use-case-specific.
You have customers in a number of verticals, but banking and finance, HR, which is what got me interested in this, retail and government, and then also apparently high-tech procurement. Wondering if you can give us a couple of examples, Navreena, of companies, without naming them presumably, who are using your Credo AI product.
So I'll start with financial sector, which is very interesting and intriguing to me because I started to learn a lot more about how financial sector operates. So one of our customers is a Fortune 50 largest financial services provider. They are building machine learning based models for fraud, for risk scoring, for marketing applications. And a lot of times they sell these machine learning models into issuer banks. And these issuer banks, as you can imagine, could be some of the largest banks in the world. As you can imagine, these issuer banks are obviously under a lot of regulatory oversight because of model risk management, SR 11-7. And so when these financial services are selling these machine learning models into these issuer banks, it can take anywhere from 12 to 14 months to even get an application sold because there is so much governance overhead in making sure that the bank is getting access to all the information that the financial services has around that machine learning application. So you can imagine the need for transparency reporting, the need for protecting your IP becomes paramount. In this case, Credo AI has been working with this financial services now for almost 2.5 years, and we've completely optimized not only governance processes and overview of risk, but also how they create these transparency report, reducing the procurement cycles between them and the issuer banks. Second example is government sector. You know, it's a very fascinating sector. We as Credo AI, we take a lot of pride in not working on applications which are, you know, targeting humans. We are focused mostly right now in government sector on back office application, whether it is buying third-party vendor models for hiring, whether it is conversational chatbots for internal operations, et cetera. And our customers there are also building applications around object detection, especially for situational awareness to help soldiers in the field. And so, you know, as you can imagine, because of the way it works, there is, you know, it's a force multiplier having responsible AI built into the way your machine learning systems are actually showing up in the field is a force multiplier for the soldier, because now they know that it has the right oversight, it is compliant, it has met the requirements that the government agency has put in place. Third example, very quickly, obviously HR is a rising sector for us because of New York City law. And there I would say that we are seeing a very interesting mix of enterprises who are buying from third-party vendors, but also vendors themselves being very proactive about saying, hey, how do we not only comply with this law, but do better than that law and start transparently reporting on how we are building these applications is obviously a very important sector for us right now.
How far do you think we have to go before responsible AI is the norm? It seems like a hugely complex problem.
Yes, it is a complex problem. I think we have a long way to go. As I always state, we are in very early innings of what is responsible AI mean and how governance can accomplish it. Having said that, companies who are not sort of starting to think about it or are not on that journey right now, and happy to share how we think about the journey of enterprises, but companies who are not starting to think about it right now, unfortunately, are going to lose in this artificial intelligence age. I truly believe that responsible AI is a prerequisite for not only building applications based on AI, but procuring applications based on AI. So if companies are not already starting to build this muscle right now, guess what? They're not going to be leaders in the space. And as I mentioned, it's not just because of regulation, it's because of making sure you're meeting your consumers, your stakeholders, like your board members, your executives, your investors, wherever they are. And a lot of them are demanding transparency into the ways artificial intelligence is being intended for use and actually being deployed. Very early innings, but that's what we are betting on and really excited about responsible AI being a prerequisite for AI.
Well, Navreena, this has been a very fascinating conversation. I thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, David.